All right, please take a seat. Welcome to Shield Foundation Baptist Church Sunday afternoon service. If you would, turn your hymnal to Psalm number 409. The fight is on Psalm 409. The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner hold us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is on, arouse these soldiers, brilliant through the leads, and victory will assure. Go back, hold on, the armor God has given you, and in His strength forever will endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner all us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is leading on to certain victory, the bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall be, the month will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner hold us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. All right, good singing. Let's open the service with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Sunday. Lord, I pray that we'll have a great service and a great preaching from Your word. I pray that we'll take something away from the sermon. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn to Psalm number 369. Psalm 369, I know the Bible is true.
I know the Bible was sent from God, the old as well as the new, inspired and holy, the living word. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true, divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. I know the story of Christ is true, His virgin glorious birth, His life, His death, and the open tomb, and His return to the earth.
I know the Bible is true, divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is wholly true. For peace it gave me within. It finds me, comforts me day by day, and gives me victory over sin. I know the Bible is true, divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. Though foes deny with a spirit bold, the message old but still new. Its truth is sweeter each time 'tis told. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true. Divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true.
All right, you're saying, at this time, let's go over the bulletin. The verse of the week is Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's why we should not celebrate Halloween, because it's a holiday of darkness. It's a holiday of death. And looking at the inside page, we have service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. This Wednesday, we'll be going through Judges chapter number 3. We will see three judges in this chapter, so please join us. And then we have soul winning Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Upcoming events, pie and praise service, will take place during the Sunday afternoon service on November 23rd. Please bring a pie to share. It will be a modified service with a shorter sermon with song requests and, you know, all the other fun activities. Christmas service will take place on Sunday, December 21st. Please invite family and friends. I will have a sign-up sheet for the potluck later, probably in November. And then Christmas Eve service will be on Wednesday, December 24th. So if you don't normally come on Wednesday, this is the Wednesday that you want to show up. And then please use the QR code for the baby registry. Also, there's a link in the WhatsApp group as well. There will also be a baby shower right after the service today. And then Gary Sony Marathon next month will be November 22nd. More details to come about the time and the meetup location. And then December 27 is the Winter Wonderland Soul Winning Marathon. We'll meet up around 1 o'clock, go soul winning for 3-4 hours, and then we're going to probably go to City Barbecue or someplace like that. And then please help us with the cleaning of the church building right after the service. If you flip on the back side, we have birthdays coming up. We have my birthday and Brother Wade's birthday, so let's sing happy birthday to Brother Wade. All right, let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you and myself. all right, I think that's it. I mean, it's on Halloween, so. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. all right, let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering. Go to song number 396. So little time. 396. On the first, so little time, the harvest will be over.
out reaping down. We reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap, oh, miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost soul to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I feel too strictly worn. The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus. The greatest fallen lost ones now reborn. Today we reap, oh, miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost soul to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart, oh, those we cannot win. Misunderstood, because we are peculiar, still no regrets we'll have but for our sin. Today we reap, oh, miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost soul to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house or car or garments fair and fame, with all be trash when souls are brought to heaven. And now how sad to face the slacker blame. Today we reap, or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost soul to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. The harvest wine with reapers filled is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap, or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
All right, ushers, please come forward. Brother Breck, would you pray for the offering, please?
Thank you, Lord, for a great day out soul winning. Thank you for all that you do. And please bless this offering and let us continue to grow as a church. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 today. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand so you can read along. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 1 says, "There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he have not seen the sun, nor known anything. This have more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet have he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what have the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which have been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Evangelist Justin, could you please pray for us?
Amen. So let's look again here. Let's look at verse number 9 here of the chapter I was just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. It says here, "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." And the book of Ecclesiastes really covers a lot of the life under the sun and just a lot of things that are happening. Ultimately, in itself, it's vanity. But, you know, if you're here for the Wednesday night series where we went through the book of Ecclesiastes, it finishes off saying, hey, as long as you're living for God, as long as you're living for the things of, for, you know, heaven, the kingdom of heaven, actually, if that's your end, well, everything leading up to it is actually very useful. And that's what my sermon's going to be about. The title of my sermon is, "It Ain't Tricky to Be Thrifty." It ain't tricky to be thrifty. So this sermon is going to be basically talking about being thrifty, being smart with your, you know, finances, stuff you have, being resourceful. And I think we as Christians should be resourceful. We should, you know, I think God has given us a lot of things so that we can glorify Him ultimately. Because I don't think God wants us to be wasteful people and things of that nature. If you would turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, before I get into, you know, in the sermon, I'll be covering some things, how you can be thrifty, you know, some just tips and tricks, how to save money and things like that, because, you know, things are getting expensive. I wanted to just make this clarification. So my first point will be, do not desire to be rich, though. No, we should work hard, earn money, pay our bills, save money on the side, so we can have money, you know, to bless others with, you know, to be, you know, blessing others for the church and for other Christians. But at the end of the day, that's not what our life is about. Our life is not about just getting money, just stockpiling food, clothing, wealth, things like that. This is what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. It says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." And Job also talks about this. "Hey, I was naked when I came in this world. Naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No, that should be our attitude. We should have like a loose grip on everything that we have in this life. But we should also put it to good use as long as we have it. You know, it says in verse 8, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, in a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And you could also say, hey, women, if they get sucked into this, they could also be drowned into many hurtful lusts as well. Because a lot of people, if you really talk to the unsaved people, that's really their desire, to be famous, get rich, make a name for themselves, get famous, leave themselves a legacy for the next generation, right? Well, that can be fulfilled by being a Christian, because everything you do is eternal as a Christian. Everything you do for the Lord, how many souls you win, you just being encouragement to your brothers and sisters. You know, let's say someone's going through a tough time in this church. Like, let's say they lose a job or something. You're there. You encourage them. Be like, hey, brother, I was there. Here's some verses that got me through it. Maybe they'll get you through it as well. You know, that's going to last forever. God's going to remember everything you do that's spiritual. So that's why we have this innate desire to leave a legacy, because it's really to please God. Because that will be remembered for eternity in heaven. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 4, labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom. So the Bible talks about the wisdom of the world and how, you know, the world has its own wisdom. And it works. You know, hey, if you follow the ways of the wisdom of this world, you'll get rich. But to what end? And that's really why I love the book of Ecclesiastes, because it really addresses that. Okay, yes, you could get all this stuff. You could work hard. I mean, King Solomon was the richest man on the earth at the time. He had everything you could have ever wanted. Fame, wealth, women, everything. What was the end of it? Nothing. It was vanity. It didn't bring him true happiness and joy in life. That's why he went through that whole episode in the book of Ecclesiastes being like, well, I guess the only thing that really matters is just having what you have from the Lord, enjoying it, and then just serving others. Again, the end is not gain in wealth in itself, but it can be the means to the ultimate end, which is bringing glory to God and his kingdom to heaven. And again, the desire to be rich is a trap, and it will destroy your life. It just will. I mean, I've never met a person that is making a lot of money right now, and that's their desire, and they're just like, okay, I made enough money, that's it, I'm good. No, usually they're like, I want to make more money. I want to keep making more and more. And this isn't on my notes, this just came to my mind. But the parable of the guy that's building his barn in the farm, he was like, well, actually, I'm running out of room to store all my goods, so I'm going to build a bigger barn. But Jesus says, hey, that night, his soul's going to be required of him. He was going to die that night. So, yeah, you could work hard, spend decades of your life just doing all this stuff, and next thing you know, you die. And then that's it. It's like you couldn't even get to enjoy it. And that's why in that chapter in Ecclesiastes 6, it says it's an evil disease when men can't enjoy the things that they earn and actually get. So that's my first point. It's a pretty short point. Just a little caveat. Hey, you know, I'm going to be talking about some ways to save money, maybe even make money to help you, you know, in your life, because again, things are expensive. But that should not be your desire. That should not be your ultimate thing in life. It should be so that you can be a better Christian, help others and things like that, be a blessing to others. So that's my first point. Do not desire to be rich. Point number two, God expects us to be good stewards of what we have. So if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27, we'll get into that. And again, it says in Proverbs 27, verse 23, I'll read to you the verse. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. So the Bible says we should know the state of our flocks. Now, that can be interpreted many different ways in our modern lives. That could be your kids, make sure your kids are safe, they're healthy, they're getting their nutrients and things like that. Take care of yourself. Make sure you're taking care of yourself as well. I think God wants us to take care of our bodies to the best of our ability. You know, make sure you're eating the right foods, you're getting exercise and things like that. But also, I'm more going to be applying this to financial. It says here in Proverbs 27, look at verse 24. I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So the apply this to modern day. Let's say there's this lazy guy who owns a business and it's just run down. It says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So this guy's not taking care of his property. I mean, his wall's broken down. There's nettles and thorns overgrowing everything, right? Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, or as thy want as an armed man. So it's always a little, right? It always starts off with just, oh, I'm going to sleep in a little bit today. Oh, well, maybe I'll just skip church this Sunday just to sleep in or something. It always starts out with a little inch, and next thing you know, you're going to be missing out on a whole bunch of stuff. Your whole life's going to crash and burn. But this can also apply financially. Now, oh, I really want this thing right now, so I'm going to spend the $50 now. Or you could, you know, exercise some discipline in yourself. Okay, I'll put a note on that. Maybe I can find it cheaper somewhere else and save that $50 for something else. See, it always starts off something small. That's what the Bible says. We should be diligent instead of our flocks. So financially speaking, we should know how much money we have in our bank account so that we can be responsible with it, use it so we can pay our bills, especially if you're a guy and you're a father of the home and you're paying your bills, make sure everything's taken care of so that no one in your house has to worry about if you're going to have food or not and, you know, everything like that. And in Proverbs chapter 24, you can turn there if you want. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, it says this. I went by the field, and of the slothful, again, the slothful man's field, it's always run down. And by the vineyard, and of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it, while I looked upon it and received instruction. Oh, I already read that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll fold in hands. So, again, you can look at other people's failures and get instruction from it, right? That's what it says here. I looked well and I received instruction. So, it's, you know, a lot of people say this, and I agree with this statement. You know, learn from your mistakes. Absolutely. We should learn from our mistakes in our life. But even better than that, learn from other people's mistakes so that you don't have to make that mistake. Hey, I don't need to go out and waste my 20s getting drunk and commit fornication to find out that that's bad for me. I just look at other people that I work with or other people I've known in my life. Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's cool. I'm good, you know? I don't want to get an STD. I don't want to get drunk and poison my body and destroy my liver. And next thing you know, I get cancer or something like that. No, I'm good, you know? I think the last place for this one I want to turn to is Matthew chapter 20. You can turn there. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. So, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, so they agreed to a penny a day, that's their wage for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others, and here's just verse 8, time to go to verse 12. So basically, he hires a bunch of people. They're getting the same wage throughout the whole day. Some showed up later. He hired them later throughout the day. Some worked the whole day. But they all received the same payment. Verse 12, it says, saying that these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. What didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. So they were getting a little envious and angry, because they were thinking, well, these guys only work for like 2 hours. How come they're getting the same pay that I got when I worked all day? But again, if you read in verse 2, they agreed to a penny a day. So, and that's the thing. You know, when you let the desire to be rich into your heart, you can end up like these guys. Envious of other people, how much they're making. You know, I've met people like that. I know people like that where, like, oh, when someone else is succeeding financially in some way, they get like a weird attitude where they like hate that person now. Like, I'm always, especially my family, I'm always happy if someone's doing well. And that should be your attitude as a Christian. And in church, if a brother or a sister is just really excelling, really killing it, like it's soul winning or whatever, you should be happy for that person. You shouldn't be envious of that person. I never understood that attitude. It's just weird. Like, oh, someone got 500 people saved. Like, oh, you know, oh. That's great. More people got saved. Less people going to hell. I'm just amening because I'm like, great. At least someone else is, you know, picking up the slack, doing the work. So you can apply that spiritually and carnally. You know, if someone gets a promotion at work, you should not be envious of that person. You should be happy for that person. You know, I'll say this. At my job, where I work at right now, there's some people that are in similar positions to me that make more than me. I could be like, well, get mad at that, or I'm actually happy about that because it gives me hope, because maybe one day I'll make that much amount of money. That's my thought process. Anyway, that's point number two. Point number one, do not desire to be rich. Point number two, God expects us to be good stewards of what we have. And again, whatever we have, doesn't matter how much we're making, we should be grateful for what we have. You know, we should be content with what we have and be good stewards with it. We should be diligent with the state of our flocks. You know, we shouldn't just be wasting money at whatever. We should have discipline, be able to save money. I get it. You know, in this economy, it's hard to save money with inflation. It's crazy. The Jews have done an absolute number on this economy and everything. I get that. But point number three, we must balance these two things. Yes, we shouldn't desire to be rich. We also should be good stewards of things. How do we balance these things? This is how. In Proverbs chapter 20, verses 23, it says that a false balance is an abomination to God. So, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So, we should have everything in the right balance. We should have our time where we're going over our budget, going over what's, you know, in our bank account, how much, what we need. But don't let that overtake your life if that's all you think about. Because a lot of people, that's what they're so worried about it. They're like so worried. Am I going to have enough money this week? And, you know, especially if you're a saved Christian, God knows what you need. He knows before you even ask. He knows exactly what you need. Especially if you're a saved Christian, he'll help you out. He will. So we should have that balance where we're still putting God first in our life. We're still putting church and reading the Bible and everything like that. But sometimes our worries financially about the future and things like that can grip people. Where to the point you can't function and you're just like, what am I going to be able to do a couple weeks from now, a couple years from now? You know, sometimes we just don't know. At some point, we just got to put our trust in the Lord. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says, again, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And I'll go to this. You don't have to turn here, but Matthew chapter 6 says this. So, how do we balance these things? This is what it says here in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So does God really want us to be just so overtaken by worry with what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how much money we're going to make? No. Now, I'm not saying not to care at all. That's not what the verse is saying here. It's just saying, hey, listen, take care of the things you have. Ultimately, just have faith in God that he's going to take care of you and just leave it up to him and let God be God. Let him do his work. That's how I've been operating for the last 3 to 4 years, just allowing God just to take care of everything else, and it works. It does. Is it always easy? No. That's why very few people will do it, you know? So that was my first section of the sermon, just kind of going over the biblical backings of being a good steward, just how we balance these things, how we shouldn't desire to be rich, how we should allow God to just do what he needs to do. I'll say this, because a lot of people think, oh, I drive so far to church, I'm spending all this money on car maintenance and stuff like that, I need to stop doing that. I need to go, you know, I got to work more hours, I got to work on Sunday, and if I do that, I'll make more money, have more money. Actually, you're going to lose money if you do that. You'll actually end up being worse off than you were if you were just staying put where you are. And I'll be honest with you, I'll confess my fault to you. I have that thought sometimes. I'm kind of like, well, I'm doing all this driving, man. If I just stopped doing this long drive Wednesdays and Sundays, I save so much money on gas. But then I'm thinking, but God knows I have the ability to go to the best church in my area. So if I stop doing that, well, I'm not going to have God's blessings as I've been getting initially. So actually, it's going to be worse. God will just make something happen. He'll just have the care come to my car or something, or something else would happen. You know, you think you'll be better off not serving God fully to your ability, but you'll actually be worse off than you were before. And tithing is always the thing too, like, oh, if I stop tithing, I'll save so much money. But you know what, I think Evangelist Don said this in a sermon. Yeah, I think he did. He said, I'd rather have 90% of my finances blessed than 100% of it cursed. I'd rather have 90% of my finances that I'm earning, and the first fruits goes to God, and I get to keep 90% of it, but it's all blessed, than have 100% of it under his curse. Because in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, it's just curse, 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 curse. Like, and That can also apply to us backsliding Christians. If we're not doing as well, especially if we heard the preaching, we know better as Christians what we should be doing. We know what's acceptable, and we just stop doing the things that we know is right. I mean, God will really come down on hard on us. No, He's grace. He's very merciful. He's very gracious. He's not gonna, like, the moment you do, He's just gonna have everything be new. So, no, He's not gonna do that. He'll give you time, and He's understanding too. Like, let's say you skip a couple Sundays to work or something, earn some extra money, but you repent of that. God's gonna forgive you. Now, it's not like immediately the moment we stop serving God or something, it's just comes out with a sledgehammer and just that's it. You know. Now, could that happen? Yes, and the Bible talks about that throughout the Bible. Yes, sorry Christians, but God does punish believers if you don't obey His commandments. That's just what the Bible says. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Bible. So, on to section 2 of my sermon, kind of more of the practical tips on how to be thrifty, be a good steward of the things you have. So, and, you know, this one was a big theme for me. I wouldn't want to preach on for a while because gas is just getting so expensive. Show of hands, who here is familiar with the app GasBuddy? Quite a few? Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's what I'll be talking about. Like, the best way to maximize GasBuddy to save a lot of money on gas. So, a little bit about my driving situation throughout the week. I drive roughly 600 miles a week with my car. That's how much driving to work every day and then to church Wednesday and Sunday. That's about how many miles I'm putting in my car every week. That's why I went for the hybrid, because, you know, they're very reliable when it comes to that. So what I've been doing for almost 2 years now is I'll get the premium membership for GasBuddy, which is $10 a month. And I'm saving on average, like, I would say $30 to $40 a month overall just doing that. And then I'll, on top of that, go to a gas station that I'll just either I'll only gas up at, and then I'll sign up to their gas program. And then I'll earn points that way. So now I'll stack both of them. Between those two things, I'm saving on average a week like $3 to $4 every week just doing these two things. So on top of that, I'm saving like $20 or $30 right there. So I'm spending roughly $25 to $35 a week on gas for driving 600 miles right now to church. And that's a great way to really be a good steward with the things God has given you. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get those exact numbers, because every car is different with gas mileage and rates and things like that. But this is a great way to really get back at the, you know, at my old IP church I went to, my pastor called it the gas cartel companies, because they would always be so expensive and stuff like that. It was kind of funny. But that's a good way to save money right there, is because everyone's got to gas up their cars, right? Everyone's got to put gas in their cars to go anywhere. So that's a great way to do it right there. And just from me doing that consistently for almost 2 years, I've saved almost $1,000 just doing that. And it's nothing special. And I also snap receipts to earn extra cash as well. You can get gift cards, stuff like that. Just there's free apps you can get on your phone to do that. And next thing you know, you're earning extra cash and gift cards. It's just free money. It's just money you wouldn't be getting if you weren't doing it before. In Proverbs 13, chapter 13, you can turn it over if you want. Proverbs chapter 13. So why go through all this? Why am I doing this? Wealth gone by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So that's the thing. I'm working on my job, just getting a paycheck, working hard on my job, and then whatever money I'm getting, I'm trying to keep as much as possible. You know, that's what God wants us to do, so that we can have more money to bless others with. So, that was my fourth point. Play the gas rewards points game, and you'll save big on gas. And point number 5, this is just a good tip in general when shopping, to be a smart shopper, to save a lot of money too when you need stuff. Never pay anything full price. You don't need to pay anything full price ever, most of the time. You can find a deal somewhere. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the app called Woot, but it's a company owned by Amazon, and they have like all sorts of surplus items on there that is great to get. Like, I just got a Roomba recently, you know, those robots that, you know, vacuum up around the house. They're usually like $200, $250. I was able to get one on Woot for $60. Now, they have refurbished and surplus items on there for sale for like over 70% off most of the time. So, you know, it's not like we as Christians, you know, we'll sometimes work jobs we'll have to make financial sacrifices for because we want to be in church, right? We want to be at church on Wednesday nights and Sundays. So there's some high-paying jobs that unfortunately you just won't be able to work for because of that stipulation, right? That doesn't mean you have to bite the financial bullet. You can actually find good deals and still maintain the same rate of spending and earning as someone else that isn't going to church Wednesday on Sundays. You can actually almost be parallel with that if you're looking for good deals and being a smart shopper. And nothing is Goodwill. I love Goodwill because everything I'm wearing right now pretty much is on Goodwill except for my shoes, because that's the only thing I don't cheapen myself on is a good pair of shoes. But pretty much everything I mean, my whole outfit's less than $20. I just got this from Goodwill. You know, you don't have to go to Target or Target. I heard people say Target. It's like, oh, it's the fancy store, you know? You know, we don't need to have the newest, fanciest thing all the time. We could just have a hand-me-down. Or just something that's on sale. There's nothing wrong with it. You know? Yeah, like I said, Goodwill is great for clothes. I mean, Goodwill has everything. They got clothes, they got house appliances, they got all sorts of stuff. They got books. If you like reading, you know, there's great books. Thrift stores are also great places. Garage sales, you know, are just great places to go to get stuff that are cheap. And, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Now, of course, Proverbs chapter 31 is talking about the virtuous woman, but this, I believe this can also apply to us, just to both sexes, to both man and woman, just on being a good steward, being thrifty. It says here in verse 13 of Proverbs 31, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, we should be able to work with our hands. That's a good thing to do. I do, I won't say a lot, but I do some extra work and maintenance on my car that saves me a lot of money, too. You know, if you know how to work on your car, you know, check your car battery, fill, you know, wiper fluids and stuff like that, change out your wiper blades, fill up your tire air and stuff like that, that'll save, because a lot of these mechanics now overcharge you like crazy for labor. So if you can do your own car work, too, that also helps save you money. Now, obviously, if it's something you don't know, just get the work done. Get a service, you know. I'm not saying, oh, wow, just try to do everything yourself, and then next thing you know, your car doesn't run, you know. Use discretion. Verse 14, it says, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. So again, the virtuous wife knows how to get the good deals at the supermarket. She'll go to different stores. She'll get the coupons from the obscure, weird places. I don't know how people had coupons before online, but you know, if you go online, you can find good coupons as well, and good deals online for grocery stores. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So this virtuous woman is always working. Even at night, she's making sure her household is well fed, taken care of. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. Again, like in Proverbs 27, verse 23, it says, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. She's purchasing a field, you know, and I believe in Proverbs 24, verse 27, our actual previous verse of the week, it says this as well. Or, no, it's 24, verse 27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. So you should be prepared before you make any big purchases like that. Because it says in verse 31, verse 16, she considereth a field. So she didn't just buy the field without considering it. She didn't put thought into it. She actually put some foreknowledge and thought of, hey, is this field going to be good for me for what I'm bringing home? And, you know, it was. And she bought it. So any big purchases you make, like getting a car or a house, make sure to do the preparedness. Make sure you run the calculations before you buy it. You know, make sure it's at a good location. Make sure, you know, it's close to church. It's close to a town you could, you know, do business at, go shopping at, and things like that. You know. So it's just very practical stuff like that. You know, and a lot of people are complaining about the economy and stuff like that. But I'm not saying everyone that's struggling financially, it's like, oh, it's their fault or something. Obviously, a lot of people are struggling, and they're doing everything right. They're working hard and stuff like that. I get that. I believe that. But also, a lot of people, let's just face it, most Americans, I see all these, like Evangelist Zahn said earlier in her sermon this morning, how much people spend on Halloween. Like, I don't want to hear you complain about the economy if you're dumping that much money into Halloween. Right. Like, come on, dude. Just don't spend all that money on the costumes and the candy if you're that hurting that much financially. Just skip Halloween that year or stop. Hey, being a Christian is a big money saver. It really is. I got rid of my TV. I don't celebrate Halloween. I don't celebrate all these pagan holidays. I'm saving so much money just being a Christian. So, you know, maybe I should start doing that when trying to get people saved. Hey, money's tight right now. If you get saved, you'll probably save a lot of money. You know, that's a joke. I'm not actually going to do that. That's just a joke. But again, like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she, you know, worked hard. She was always working with her hands willingly, always going out seeking the merchandise, things from afar, and she considereth a field. And she, you know, in Proverbs 31, out of all the sermons I've heard about Proverbs 31, no one ever said, oh, this woman's lazy. Never. She was always working hard, always working with her hands. You know, that's the model woman, you know, that guys want, right? And, you know, again, we can apply this to ourselves as guys as well. We should be hard workers. We should be diligent in everything that we do. So that's point number five, never pay anything full price. All right, so far, point number one, do not desire to be rich. Point number two, God expects us to be good stewards of what we have. Point number three, we must balance these two things. Point number four, play the gas rewards points game. You'll save big on gas. Point number five, never pay anything full price. Point number six, take care of your chariot, bro. Take care of your chariot, which is your car, by the way. So I already talked about this a little bit. So just some practical tips on how to take care of your car to avoid a lot of the pitfalls of car maintenance. Change oil every 5,000 miles, or if it's specified in the manual, 10,000 miles. This will save you a lot of trouble right here, because a lot of times, a lot of people have a lot of big troubles in their car simply because they don't change their oil. I mean, I've heard it a couple times where people have like this huge mechanical engine issue, could have been totally avoided if they just changed their oil. So that's a big one. Also, rotate your tires at the same interval. Pretty much every time I get my oil change again, my tires rotated. That helps really extend the life of your tires. And everyone here, as far as I'm concerned, has to drive at least an hour to church. You know, this is stuff that will help your car last longer. Now, cars are expensive, so I really, now I want for my car, I want to get the most out of my car, out of most life. So, regularly check your tire pressure. I do every 2 weeks, because especially now with how inconsistent the weather and the temperatures have been, I believe it's like every 10 to 15 degrees increase or decrease, your tire pressure can increase or decrease by 1 to 2 pressure PSI. So I check my tire pressure every 2 weeks just to stay on top of it. I have one of those portable inflators that you just plug into the car jack and it can inflate the tires. That helps a lot too, because if you got tires that are low in air pressure, that can cause issues with the tires. And it's also going to kill your gas mileage as well, which gas is expensive. You don't want to do that. And this is something I do also every so often. So every time I get my oil change and things like that, and next time I gas up after that, I also use a fuel additive that cleans out the whole fuel lining system. I use Chevron Tecron. That's great to use because what that does is, you know, gunk builds up over time in the fuel injectors and the engine and things like that. So if you pour that stuff in before you fill it the next time you fill up, it'll clean all that out. Just make sure you do that when your tank's almost empty. That's my tip on that as well. And again, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is so that you can serve God with very little distractions. Because can you effectively serve God when you got to constantly fix your car? No. Can you effectively serve God and be faithful to church when your car is constantly breaking down, where you're having trouble paying bills? No, you can't. You know, and it's hard. I'm not saying this stuff's easy to do. It's not. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll get home from work after working 10 hours, and I'm spending another 2 to 3 hours just doing all the stuff in my car. And I'm just like, man, I just want to go to sleep, you know? But this is all stuff that is helping me maintain and keep everything doing I'm doing right now for the Lord. And, you know, if I wasn't doing this, I mean, I'd be broke. So, and I looked this. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but chariots in the Bible, they're pretty expensive. In 2 Chronicles 1:17, you can turn there if you want. And again, I asked AI this, and I tried to verify the sources. So take this with a grain of salt. I'm not sure how accurate this is. Just want to throw this out there. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 17, and they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. And so brought they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria by their means. So a horse is 150 shekels of silver. A chariot is 600. So, again, I don't know how accurate this is, but 600 shekels of silver would be roughly $5,000 today. Which, I would say that's probably not off the mark that much, because that's about the average price for a used car today with, I would say, over 120,000 miles. You could probably get a used car for $5,000 to $10,000. But again, the Bible emphasizes the price of the chariots here. You know, in the book of Judges too, it talks about how they couldn't drive out the people with the chariots of iron. So chariots were a really powerful instrument of war in the ancient times, because again, there was no guns, there was no armaments back then, ballistic armaments. So all they had was slingshots, rocks, stone, maybe a sword. So you have to go up toe-to-toe with someone with a giant chariot with probably spiked wheels. They could just run you over with that chariot. You know, that was basically the ancient warfare of the tank. Now, can you take down a tank with just your small pistol? No. Unless you're walkie, but more than likely not. And again, they were expensive. You got to maintain your car. Maintain that so that you can continue to come here as well. And, you know, it's a thing that's been happening. You know, I've had car issues. A couple other people in this church had car issues. You know, it's a sacrifice we make because we love the Lord. We love this church. We want to see souls saved. We want to, you know, evangelize the lost and edify the brethren. That's why we come to this church. That's why a lot of us are driving hour and a half, even 2 hours to come here. Because we love the work of God that's being done here in this area. I mean, is there, I can't think of any other church in this state alone that's getting protested as much as we are right now, as viciously. It's just, God really is doing a lot of work through us. So it's important that we keep doing what we're doing. And this is how we're going to be able to keep doing it. So that was point number six, take care of your car, bro, your chariot. Point number seven, save. It's very important that you get in the habit of this. You know, if you don't have a budget, that's the problem right there. You should have a budget. That's really important. That way, you're able to take 100% ownership of all your finances, know where your money's going. Because that's the thing. A lot of people, they don't realize how much they're spending, like on monthly subscriptions or streaming services or stuff like that. So it's definitely a good thing to do at some point, just to take a look and see where your money's going. That way you could take 100% ownership, know where everything's going, and have a budget. That way you can have a good, clear idea of where you're at and what you can do and how you can reach your goals in the future. And again, it may be hard at first, but once you do it over and over again, it just becomes habit. It's like anything. You just get used to it. You start doing it. And it'll help. And again, it bears repeating. Proverbs 24, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Again, I think we could apply that to finances. God wants us to be responsible, especially as guys. We should, in my opinion, in the marriage, should be running the finances. Hey, if the wife's good at it and she's trustworthy to do it, that's fine too. I don't see anything wrong with that. But we as guys should be able to run a budget, be able to pay our bills on time and all the time. And I never like getting money from the government. I just don't, you know, like all these government programs to help you with stuff. And I get it. If you do that, you got to do what you got to do. I get that. I'm not coming down hard on anyone that's done that. But I'd like to be able to take care of myself without needing help of the government or anything like that. And I believe the church, you know, honestly, there's nothing wrong with helping a brother out in the church that's really struggling. If they're struggling, they're working hard, they're paying their bills, nothing wrong with helping them out, you know? So, in conclusion, this isn't about stockpiling money just for the sake of having money. This is for forwarding the kingdom of God and His work. That is why I'm preaching this sermon. The whole reason why I wanted to preach this sermon was there's some tips and tricks I picked up on just being able to save myself some money. Maybe, hopefully, someone got something from this sermon. Maybe that'll help them financially, because it's tough. Money's tight right now. It's not easy. You know, inflation's gone through the roof. I mean, gas has gone up. Groceries are up. It's tough, you know. But there are ways you can still be on top of it. It's not impossible. You know, some people, they got that attitude where it's like, well, that's it. I'm going to give up. It's toast. You know, and they'll blame society. That's the wrong attitude. No, we can still have an influence and effort and control what we have. I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. This just came back to my mind. I think it was in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Yes. It says in verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. A lot of people, they got this big dream, what they want to do, right? They want to be like, oh, well, once I have this, I know what I'm going to do. Okay, what are you doing right now, though? What do you have right now? That's the question everyone should be asking themselves. What do you have right now? Because that's what you can control. You know, honestly, I get it. Politics is ridiculous. I mean, what we're doing over there in Israel is absolutely disgusting. It's just terrible. It's horrific, honestly, just how we're supporting a genocidal state like Israel. But you know what? I can't control that. What do you want me to do about that? Okay? All I can do is what I can do. You know? You got a job. You're earning money. You're doing the best you can do. That's it. You know, are you winning souls? Are you being faithful to the Lord? Are you going to church? You know, you going out there just preaching gospel to people, that, you know, I know we don't really see the spiritual realm, and it's kind of hard to keep that in mind throughout our lives as we go throughout the week, because we can't see it. But when someone gets saved, their soul is saved forever.
Right.
By the Holy Ghost. Like, that's God. According to Acts chapter 5, verse 4, that is God. The Holy Ghost is part of the Trinity. So, when you're saved, when someone gets saved, they're literally in God's hands forever. So, the President of the United States can't do that. He's not saved. Like, all these powerful people that are in power right now, that have all access to all these resources, all this power, would they ever knock on someone's door preaching the gospel? No. Because they don't know how to go to heaven themselves, a lot of them. They just don't. You know, at the end of the day, you could be the most powerful person on this planet. You could have all the wealth, all the resources, everything. But if you're not saved, what was the point? That's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, so 2,000 years, yet he hath seen no good. Do not all go to one place? You could live 2,000 years. But if there's no good in your life, if you've done nothing good for the Lord with your life, you're going to die and be in the grave anyway. I mean, all go to one place eventually. Everyone dies. We're all going to die. You might, you know, that's the attitude. It is. You know, we have a very limited time on this earth. We really do. I mean, next thing you know, you're going to blink and 5 years went by. And when that day comes, when you die and you're with the Lord in heaven, and it ain't going to matter how much money you have in the bank. It's just not. I mean, this is really, the money we have is like the Monopoly play money. Yeah, it matters when you're playing Monopoly, right? But once the game's over, it's like, who cares? I don't care how much money I had in Monopoly in that round. It's going to be like that when we get to heaven. It's only important right now because we're in this life right now. But once we're dead, it's not going to matter. It just isn't. Again, be smart with what you have so that you can do a lot for the Lord and maximize the work you can do for God in this life. But don't let that overtake you. Don't let that be just everything. Because at the end, it's not going to matter. So we're all going to die one day. And I'll end with this in Matthew chapter 6, I think. Well, different part of Matthew chapter 6. All right. Matthew 6, chapter 19. This is the last place we're turning to. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But watch this. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Every reward you get in heaven, no one can steal that. God's guarding that. And the only way you get to heaven is if you're saved in the first place. So can even saved people theoretically go to heaven and steal your rewards? No. Because God's keeping that. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart at? Is it in God? Is it in things of God ultimately? Or is it in something else? Listen, if it's in something else, you got to tear that down. And, you know, I don't have anyone particular in mind when I say that. I'm just saying in general, if you got an idol in your life that is in the place of God, you got to get that out of the way. And you got to have this as the forefront of your life, the Bible, Amen. The Word of God. With that, we'll close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this church, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for this church, Lord, that we would be good stewards of the things that we have, Lord, so that we can continue to glorify you, Lord, in everything that we do. And I just pray, God, you keep this church safe, Lord, from people that seek to hurt it, Lord. In your name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
All right, thank you, Brother Stephen, for a good applicable sermon. Let's sing one last song. Go to Psalm number 384 in the service of the King, Psalm 384. On the first, I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. In the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Through the sunshine and the shadow I can sing in the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing. Service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Oh, that possessed heavenly brim in the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that you'll help us be thrifty, be a good steward of our finance, of what you've given us, so we can glorify you better. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for coming today. I know.